Welcome. My name is Susan Daffron, and I'm the president of Logical Expressions, Inc., which is a book and software publishing company based in Idaho. I'm also the president of the Small Publishers, Artists, and Writers Network, otherwise known as SPAWN. So thanks for listening. Today we're talking to Kate Bandos from KSB Promotions about whether or not book awards are actually worth it. And Kate has worked with hundreds of publishers and authors and dealt with a wide array of media people during her more than 40 years in publishing. Since the formation of KSB Promotions in 1988, she has primarily helped independent publishers garner media exposure. Prior to the formation of KSB Promotions, she was the publicity director for M. Evans & Company in New York City, Globe Pequot Press in Connecticut, and Pelican Publishing in Los Angeles. Handling national, regional, and local and carefully targeted campaigns, Kate and her husband and partner, Doug, work with nonfiction titles, and they specialize in travel guides, parenting, gardening, cookbooks, home how-to, consumer health, a few children's books, and other general lifestyle books. So welcome, and thanks for joining us, Kate. It's great to talk to you again.
Thanks. Happy to be sharing some information with everybody.
And, well, the first thing, obviously, I mean, as a book author and publisher, a lot of us see endless awards out there and, you know, all saying, oh, you know, you're going to sell a million books if you win this award. And, you know, the purpose of this call is to decide really if it's worth our time and our money, because it does cost money, to submit our book for the, you know, all the different awards that are out there. So I'll let you sort of take it away on, you know, first thing is do you think it's worth it? That's the first obvious question, just the overall big picture, is it worth it?
Yes, I think the quick answer is yes, and we'll spend the next hour talking about why and how and how to make it more so. But it costs in two ways. Really, it costs money to enter most of the awards. It costs money because you're sending books out,
yeah.
So you've got the cost of the book and the postage, et cetera. And often if you win an award, it costs for the seals or the right to use the seal on the book itself. So it costs money on several different levels, and every publisher has to decide how much money they're willing to spend in this arena and then make some careful choices. The other thing that it costs is time, both in researching the most appropriate awards for your particular book or books, and that can be take as much time as you want. I spent about an hour this morning on the web putting in book awards and putting in literary awards, as well as reviewing information that I already have. And I'll share a few of the sites, and then we'll make available a four-page list that was just tipping the getting the tip of the iceberg on all of the awards that are out there. So it really could be a full-time job running down the various awards that might or might not be appropriate for your book or books.
And I think that's a really important point, because I know some awards, they're really focused on graphic design, so if you have sort of a plain text, you know, kind of standard-looking book, your competition is going to be so extreme. Like the one I'm thinking of is PubWest does a design award. And when I went to PubWest, I saw some of the winners, and it was like, oh, my gosh, the production that went, you know, each book probably cost, you know, in some of these cases, it was like, you know, each book was cost the printer $15 to produce or something. I mean, they're just, it's sort of amazing sometimes what you can do with these things. So, you know, that would be an example of an award not to spend your money on if you have, you know, say a print-on-demand book, you're not going to win.
Right. I think the other thing is the vast difference that brings up with the awards. Some of the awards that independent publishers might be most familiar with are the IBPA Ben Franklin Awards, that's mm-hmm. the Independent Book Publishers Association Awards, and in their award program, I don't know, what there are 30 or 50 different categories that you can submit. I just happen to have it here. 56,
yeah, I know. Mine's sitting around, too.
Right, 56 different categories, and so you might want to submit under one or two of them. In other words, you may want to do cover design, small format, nonfiction, as well as doing poetry, literary criticism. So you may want to submit for more than one kind of category in an award like that that has so many. Forward reviews done by what was formerly Forward Magazine and is now Forward Reviews has a similar, pretty extensive list of different categories that you can submit your book for. So does the IPPI Award done by the Independent Publisher. So the Independent Publisher Book Awards is the IPPI Award.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Independent Publisher has at least four subcategories of awards. They do their Axiom Awards for business books, and their Living Now Awards for lifestyle books, and their Moonbeam Awards for children's books, and their Nautilus Book Awards for spiritual growth type books. But even within those, there are subcategories, like on children's books, the picture books, or fiction or nonfiction, and for different age ranges. So some of them are very extensive like that. But then you can get very specific when you get to, for instance, the awards done by particular organizations, like the Dog Writers Association of America
mm-hmm.
has a book award, as does the Outdoor Writers Association of America and the Society of American Travel Writers. So those are three categories of books where you're getting much more specific. And you have fewer choices. So if you've written an outdoor guide or a travel guide or a dog book, you could be submitting that for the Ben Franklin, for an IPPI, for a Forward Award, and to these organization awards as well. I didn't get, there was one award that I thought was interesting, talking about how specific you can be, in that it's the Heidelberg Mark Twain Award for travel writing about Heidelberg, Germany.
Wow.
So that gets down to be very specific. And you're maybe not going to have a lot of competition when you get down to some of those awards. And there are indeed out there awards for if your name happens to be Smith or if you live in Minnesota. In fact, there is a website that gives, that I found, that gives awards state by state, so that if you have the publisher or the author or the topic of the book is in a particular state, then that's a website that's going to be of particular interest to look at and investigate to see that you're submitting to that kind of a place. And the competition is obviously going to be much less for a category, a statewide category or a region book award than for a national award.
That's true. And if you live in a place, you know, with a low population with not very many publishing companies, like, for example, Idaho, you know, your odds of winning something probably increase. So that can be money well spent, as opposed to trying to, you know, and with that said, that sort of leads you to the next question, which is it worth it to get an obscure award that nobody's ever heard of? Does it make a difference?
Obviously, the more, if you could get a Pulitzer Prize or a National Book Award, that would be obvious, or a Caldecott on a children's book, that would be
huge,
and make a big difference in terms of sales. But even the small awards, if, let's take your example of Idaho, and if there were an award for the best book in Idaho, you realize that you could then, when we start talking about if you win an award, what do you do? Well, the first thing you do is you send out a press release.
Mm-hmm.
And you would send out a press release to all of the media throughout Idaho. And because it is an award for the best Idaho book, there is a good possibility that you would get really good media coverage throughout the state. And so your sales on a regional book in the region that you care about is going to be important.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that winning the Dog Writers Association Award speaks to exactly the audience you're talking about. And so in a bookstore or on Amazon or on your website, when someone, a potential buyer, sees that, gee, I'm trying to decide which of these books to buy to figure out how to housebreak my puppy. Well, this one won the Dog Writers Association Award, so it was selected as the best. I'm going to go with that one. Mm-hmm. And so it can become that decision maker for your end buyer. And after all, we're all doing this to hopefully sell books, and that means impressing that end buyer. And so I think that, and the obscure ones are often much less expensive, sometimes only requiring you send 2 or 5 copies of the book, or be a member of the association,
mm-hmm.
or some other type of financial commitment, not necessarily a fee or a large fee in addition to their other qualifications or demands in how you submit your book for an award.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a good point, is that if you're starting to do your research, if you do have a budget for this, you might, you know, and you're weighing your options. I mean, the whole goal with this when you're researching all this is, you know, does it have a whole lot of categories? In which case, if your book is in an obscure category, you actually probably have a better shot at winning than if you're, you know, if you're lumped in with a whole lot, you know, something really general like business books or something. You know, your odds of winning might be better if you're in, you know, Idaho, you know, obscure regional books. On a big contest, the more, I would imagine, the more obscure your category, the more likely you are to be competing against fewer people.
Right. For instance, we've got a children's book that will be submitted to some of these awards as a children's picture book, but it happens to be multicultural, and so it's going to be submitted on the multicultural level, and that immediately will take the number of competing books from the hundreds, perhaps down to the, you know, 20 or 50,
mm-hmm.
instead of being hundreds of children's books.
Yeah.
And so when you do have a subclassification like that, you're correct that's more likely something that you're going to want to do. And many of these awards, to enter in the second or third categories is not the same price as the initial submission price. And so for only a little bit of additional money, but additional books, because obviously for each subcategory, the books are going to different judges,
mm-hmm.
then that's going to be part of your deciding factor. The other deciding factor And the reason you have to start researching book awards so early is the deadlines and the period of time that they will receive the books for consideration for the awards, and both the publication date and the submission time frame. Mm-hmm. And if your book was published in 2010, you may have through January or even May of 2011 to submit an award. There are some awards that are open-ended, and we'll look at books that are 1 to 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
There are others that are much more specific, and if it hasn't been submitted by the end of this year with a book with a copyright for this year, then you'll never again be able to submit that book for an award in that particular award competition.
Yeah, I kind of found that out the hard way on one of my books. Well, two of my books actually have a 2009 copyright date, and I realized, they won awards in 2010, but then it's like I kind of like now there's not much now there. Isn't as much that I could submit them to because a lot of things are saying, you know, I think one of them was published in 2008. So that's the one where it's like, no, not going to happen. And then now the one in 2009, which actually won awards, it's like, I think I've now lost the window on that one, too. So, yeah, I need to, like, publish some more books.
Well, and the next, the first things, again, just to recap, deciding if it's worth the time, and it does take a lot of time, particularly to find some of the more obscure awards and to read the fine print and to make sure that your book qualifies and whether it's a good fit and whether it's going to fit into your budget and not send off for a few and then discover another half a dozen, but you've used up your budget. And, and now you have to decide, do you expand that budget or are you just out of luck? So you want to do your research and do it well enough in advance to know which are your best options and submissions. Obviously using Google and other web search engines is the best way right now to find what awards are available, and as I discovered today, it's just astounding, really almost limitless when you start delving into that. Another way to find awards is to spend time in bookstores and libraries looking at books in the category that your book falls in and see what awards the book in your genre have won.
Yeah.
And then tracking them down. And one, we actually have had a couple of books that won an award because the author or publisher did precisely that, said, have you ever heard of such and such award?
Yeah.
And I said, no, that's not one I'm familiar with. And they went, oh, well, this other book that's sort of like mine had this sticker on it. And so then together we tracked it down and submitted the book, and it won the award. And if they hadn't done that kind of research, that's an award that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So that's another really good way to do a little homework and research. Then the question comes, okay, so you've won an award. Now what?
Yeah.
And the reason you've done this is sure to feel good or make your author feel good and
yeah.
to have that gold or silver or bronze sticker to go on the book or a certificate on your wall and to be able to tell your mom, see, I did it.
Yeah.
But you want to sell books. And so ultimately, given the number of awards and given the number of books that win awards, just winning the award is not news.
Mm-hmm.
Again, once you get below the category of the Pulitzer Prize or Caldecott or Newbery or one of the major book awards, that is news to the top level. But winning the award for the Minnesota Book Award is not going to be news to the New York Times or to the Chicago Tribune or to any of those places. So while the trade publications, you certainly want to notify Publishers Weekly and Library Journal and newsletters like Shelf Awareness, you're going to want to notify. They don't report on all the awards, but they do report on a lot of the awards. Also, hometown papers, both of the author and if the book has a particular setting, is going to be an important place to send a press release.
Mm-hmm.
And publishers shouldn't forget that their local business publications might find the award newsworthy. Many people forget that there's a Grand Rapids Business Journal. And if the book or author is from Grand Rapids and they've won an award, then that might make a nice little item, particularly when they can do a picture of the book and or a picture of the author with just a cut line. Mm-hmm. It becomes a nice little filler piece. So doing a press release about the award is something that you want to do, but the expectations shouldn't be for the major media, but to look to those places who indeed would find this a story that would be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use the award as an excuse to send out a new round of follow-up to those who have gotten the book. So you've sent out review copies of your book and you've done some follow-up. Well, nothing seems to be happening. Well, this is a good way to send out an email and or make some calls to say, 2 months ago we sent you a copy of such and such, which I hope you're considering for review, thought you'd like to know that it just won the such and such award.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a new bit of information that gives you a legitimate excuse to say, are you going to do something, huh?
Yeah, excuse me.
Right.
Try and light a fire under them, you
That's
know?
That's right.
Exactly.
So, so that becomes another reason, another way to use the award to send out follow-up. You can also make note of the award, even affixing an actual seal on all, if you're mailing out any press releases, that shiny disc just might get a press release read for those who are still physically snail mailing releases and materials.
Mm-hmm.
And so even on the outside of the package, when you're sending a review copy, award-winning book enclosed, and if you've bought a huge roll of stickers, that might be a good place to use one of those shiny stickers because
yeah.
it will make the package stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Adding to your signature block that you are a national award-winning author or you've written or published an award-winning or national award-winning book is another subtle place to make note of this, but it, again, is going to add to the credibility of the author, of the publisher, of the book itself.
Yes.
So use your signature block in your emails. Not so that it gets out of hand where the signature block is longer than your email is, but to consider how you can include that with in a way that's going to have somebody sit up and take notice.
Well, like I always say, my signature says that I'm the author of 11 books, including award winners, Publishize, and Funds to the Rescue. So it's like I sort of, you know, it's not, I'm not going into exhaustive detail about which awards they actually won and blah, 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 but I do, you know, and try to succinctly get the point across that, you know, I'm an award-winning author, so, and that's something you can you can, the authors can say too, is that once you've won an award, that makes you an award-winning author. So
correct.
You can just, even just say that in your signature, award-winning author of XYZ book.
Right. You also obviously want to add the award seal to your website and post a release or story about it on your site, in your blog, Twitter about it, all of those things. You're going to want to put a note on Facebook so that people who are following you in those places read about the award, and they're going to be interested in that. And if you have a list of followers or customers that you've been building, then it's certainly appropriate to send out notification either in and of itself or as part of a special offer for the holidays. And by the way, this book was recently selected as the best such and such.
Yeah.
And so the social media is another place that help the award lets you get out there again in front of them and make them, your potential customers, stop and say, oh, yeah, that would be a good gift for Aunt Mary or that cousin I have no clue what to get, et cetera.
Well, and the other thing you can do is kind of subtle things, like I actually changed my Facebook picture not too long ago to one that has me sitting with my books, which just happened to have, in the case of one of the awards that I won, it kind of looks like, you know, Olympic medals with the whole ribbons and the whole deal. And so I draped the awards over the books that won them, and so it's sort of a subtle thing that says, you know, award-winning author again. Even though it's not really that overt, because I'm sitting in front of books, which shows, okay, author, but then add the awards. And you could do that if you were doing a video, too, talking about your book.
Right.
Sort of subtly drape the award or, you know, set the book so that the award seal shows really nicely on the camera. Just, you know, it's cause sometimes those little kind of details can be subtle but effective, I guess.
Absolutely. Affixing the actual seal to the book cover, some people like to do it, some people don't. Some distributors don't want or don't have, the warehouse staff refuses to be peeling and sticking the award seal onto books as they pick and pack them, and mm-hmm. so that may or may not happen. If you get the award after books are in a warehouse someplace to be distributed, so they may or may not be used. Also, a book that comes on and off the shelf frequently at a bookstore or in a library, that seal tends to start to curl and peel off, and so then it can look sort of shabby.
Mm-hmm.
And so decisions have to be made whether indeed you want to use the actual seal on the book or not, and the quality of the seal when you get it, to know whether those are things that are going to make a difference for someone, particularly in a bookstore, buying the book if it has that shiny seal. Many people have started, if they get to a new printing, of printing the award as part of the artwork so that it looks, so the seal is there, but it's not the physical glossy stick-on that is there. And we recently had an author who was redoing their book cover, and there wasn't room on the front. He had won 3 different awards, and there wasn't room on the front cover to put all 3 awards. That was going to look a little tacky. So he was trying to decide which seal he wanted to put on the front, and ultimately he and his graphic designer came up with sort of a laurel half wreath that inside said winner of 3 awards, that may not have been exactly the wording, but something like that. And as most people will tell you, when someone walks into a bookstore, they take the book off the shelf, they look at the front cover, then they flip it over to the back cover.
Mm-hmm.
And when you saw winner of 3 book awards, your immediate question was, well, what were the awards? And
yeah.
So he flipped it over, and there on the back, he detailed the 3 awards, and it got you onto the back cover to then see the good blurbs and
mm-hmm.
the other attributes of the book. And so it helped with getting people to go from step 1, the front cover, to step 2, the back cover, to hopefully taking it to the cash register and deciding
yeah.
to buy the book. So you can do things like that with awards as well. Obviously, you want to notify all the distributors and sales reps and anyone who is selling the book, any of the sites where you know your book is for sale, because it may be a piece of information that they will then add to the information block about your book. And so keeping up on all of the different sites where your book is available and how you go about disseminating that and getting that information to them so that it gets added is something that is another marketing PR opportunity that is going to take some time but will ultimately be worth it, because particularly in talking to the distributors and the sales reps, just like we talked about this being an excuse to go back out to the reviewers or back out to your customer list, they can go back out to their accounts and say, I know you passed on ordering any copies of this resume book, but it just won this award and thought you might want to have another look at it. And it might be just the thing to get a store to now place an order
mm-hmm.
where they weren't sure that it was any better than the book they already had on the shelf about resumes, and so weren't going to add to their inventory necessarily in that category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it's an excuse to wrestle up some attention.
Right. And obviously, every time you send out a new press release or an article or an email, then you make note of the award in a prominent way. So the award itself is not news, but it might make the difference of the media taking a closer look at what you're sending. And, again, you talked about that, whether it be your Facebook picture or a YouTube video or just a press release or article that you're sending out to make note of that. Obviously, you want to do a nice poster that you take with you when you're doing talks or book signings at libraries or bookstores or whatever locations. We know quite a few authors who this time of year do the holiday gift fairs where
oh, yeah.
they sit at a table from 9 to 5 where other people are selling quilted stockings to hang on the fireplace or ornaments or whatever other crafts and things. Often at some of these craft fairs, a 1995 book or 995 book is one of the least expensive things in the room or in the area
yeah,
where these
that's
shows are happening. And so
yeah, you can get some attention that way.
You can get some attention and to have it the book personalized to the recipient means it's not going to be returned.
Yeah.
To sign it, to date it. And in any of those kind of places, you're going to, if you have a nice sign that shows the award, it's, again, a reason for someone to maybe stop and look more closely at the book and talk to you a little bit about it and perhaps seal the deal and make the sale that you'd been hoping for. And bookmarks and or business cards are something that every publisher author should have in quantity on them at all times to be, it doesn't matter. I mean, we talk to people who, when they go to pick up their dry cleaning, they leave a bookmark. When they mail back their bill to the cable company if they aren't paying online, when they stick in their check, they stick in a bookmark.
Yeah.
Or a business card. When you're meeting new people, there's so many opportunities throughout the day to be giving people information about the book, and that information now obviously will include winner of the such-and-such award. And it is very important that if you're not the winner but were a finalist, to be clear that you were a finalist and not a winner.
Yeah,
you've still been acknowledged by the award committee in such a way that you've still been singled out as being worthy, but you don't want to be caught in a lie because you don't want anything to possibly damage your credibility. And so you want to be clear that what your standing was in the competition that you're making note of.
Well, and sometimes you actually win, you know, it's like in the same award contest, you actually can win, if you entered in multiple categories, you can actually be, you know, a finalist in one category and then the winner in another category. So you want to be clear about what really happened there.
So right. The Chipping Chipmunk Parties in the Garden children's book that we're working with that just won its 13th book award. Some of them indeed are winners, like it was a winner in the Benjamin Franklin Book Awards in the category of the Bill Fisher Best First Children's Book. But it also was in the Three Young Voices Foundation Awards. It got a gold in the nature category and a silver in picture books and a silver in animals and pets. And so we didn't count that as three different, and it actually won awards from 13 different award groups. So we could say it actually won many more awards, but that's the kind of thing that you were talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
The in the current, the November issue of The Independent, which is the newsletter for IBPA, Flory Binford Kitchler, in her president's message, happens to be this. I only got this the other day, and her president's post is, and the winner is, the top five issues to consider before entering a book awards program. And so that's something else that your listeners, members may want to take a look at. But she talks about, in making that selection that we were talking about at the beginning, that who is the sponsor or the organizer of the awards program? And doing some qualifying, are they just out to make money and so came up with a book award? And so is their primary goal to collect fees and get a mailing list? Or is it a professionally run organization? Is it for profit or not for profit? And so looking at the sponsor or organizer is a criteria that we didn't talk about at the beginning.
Well, Well, and that's actually a good point also from just sort of the due diligence standpoint that, I mean, there have been fly-by-night awards for all kinds of things. I mean, writing awards, book awards, publication awards, I mean, pick one. So it is definitely wise to make sure you're really dealing with a company, and maybe even if it's one you've never heard of, check things like the Better Business Bureau. If it, you know, gee, this is our first year and we've decided to do book awards, it's like, maybe you should look into the, like you're saying, the business behind the award a little bit to make sure that they're actually legit before you send in, you know, your fee. Because, like you say, it costs money, and you don't want to sort of be throwing your money down a black hole.
Right. Flory also talks about the importance of trying to find out as much as you can about who the judges are. Do they have credentials for judging against standards of excellence? Are they members of the book industry? Or in the case of, say, the outdoor writers, the judges are obviously, or should be, I believe they are, you know, members of the Outdoor Writers Association, and so they would certainly know whether this is good writing and good information that is being put forth above and beyond the book itself. So are there judges who know books, and are there judges who know the content? And what do you get for your entry fee is another question that Flory says to ask, because the administrative expenses are, it does, for a while, Doug was actually in charge of the Mid-America, when there was a Mid-America Publishers Association, they ran a book award program, and so all the books and entry fees and forms came into our house, and
oh my gosh, they,
and we then had to categorize everything and then repack them up and send them back out to judges, and there were certain judges who judged, as you can imagine, the children's books or the career books or the different categories of books, et cetera. And the amount of time and paperwork, you can certainly understand how fees are needed to cover some of that administrative cost. And in most cases, the judges aren't paid anything. Many of them don't even get to keep the books that they were sent. They have to be returned. So they're doing it just to help their industry.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be of interest. Some of the award programs, like the Ben Franklin, you actually get feedback back from the judges. You get the sheets and information. So whether you win or not, you get invaluable feedback. But there aren't many award programs that do that. But there are others. And so that's another thing that you're going to want to find out. Will you be getting individual feedback, pro and con, so that you're learning from having done the submission from people who are qualified to be judging. And we already talked about the looking at the number of categories as compared to the number of entries, so that we already talked about. And the other thing that Flory points out is, what do previous award winners say? Since all of these awards list previous winners, it's pretty easy now, through whether they're a member of SPON or IBPA, or you can find them via Amazon or just typing their name into Google or whatever search engine, can you track down some of these authors and publishers and talk to them and say, gee, when such and such a book won this award, did you find it worthwhile?
Yeah.
And in most cases, I think, particularly in the small press, self-published group of authors and publishers, they're pretty willing to share information and respond. I think if you tried to ask that question of Random House, you might not get a response.
Yeah. Because
you'd never find the right person to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But doing some checking on that, we've got an author who won the Ben Franklin for Best First Book 18 years ago.
Wow.
And they, you know, the seal is on the book, and the book is still selling, and that award really made a difference to make that book, because it's on gardening. It's nothing that has changed over the past 15 years.
Yeah.
And so that award continues to be a worthwhile element as she sells and promotes that book or contacts media to write an article about, again, to be able to say award-winning author or author of an award-winning book. That continues for many years, not just the year of the award, to make a difference in promotion and sales.
That's an interesting question. If you, I mean, that's unusual for a book to stay in print for that long in the same edition. So if you had, if you came out with a, you know, gardening second edition of this book, would you then maybe move the information about how the prior book won onto the back cover, maybe?
I would think so. I think that that would be some careful wording and careful phrasing. Actually, the book that I mentioned that won the three awards that was trying to figure out how to best put it on the new book cover, it's a third edition, but it's a second printing of the third edition, but it was the third edition that won the three prizes. The previous two editions had also won prizes, which he talked about on the inside where he put some of the blurbs.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't in this case talk about the awards the first two editions had won, just the awards the third edition had won. So,
and that actually, you know, brings up another point, is that when you do come out with another edition, you have another opportunity to enter it for awards.
Correct. Right. Each new edition. And there are awards, I know that in the categories, since I have the Ben Franklin flyer right here, there is a category for most improved redesign. So you can send copies of the book the way it first looked and the way it now looks. And so most improved design, redesign, is one of the categories in the Ben Franklin. And I think possibly in some of the other awards.
Yeah,
but
I've seen that in various awards.
So that is, it does give you a chance to go again for a variety of awards.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that we sort of alluded to that's probably important is that not all awards actually will take self-published or independently published books, or ones that are produced by print-on-demand or subsidy presses, or, you know, you kind of have to look. That's another thing where you need to look at the fine print. There are ways, simply by how your book is produced, that it could be ineligible. So don't,
correct,
you know, waste your money submitting to an award where they're immediately going to disqualify you.
Well, and there are actually some awards like the Caldecott and the Newbery where you can't submit for those awards. Those the books for those awards are actually chosen by librarians.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't, as an author or publisher, submit your book to those awards because the finalists or those being considered is done internally, so to speak.
Yeah.
So that's something that's worth finding out. Interestingly enough, in doing this research this morning, I found one award. I'm looking for it on my list now here. But it was from a book packager who, here it was. It was the Morris Press Cookbook Award. And they give award for the best book that they produced.
Their own? they award themselves their own award?
Well, the Morris Press does. It looked like I didn't spend a lot of time on the website, which was cookbookawards.com. I didn't spend a lot of time, but it looks like they produce, like, Junior League and community cookbooks.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And so while they're helping produce the books, they aren't writing the books.
Yeah.
And so they came up with an award for the best book that came out of this company. And again, I didn't look at all the credentials. But
so it's sort of like an award for their customers in a way.
Right.
Huh, interesting.
Right.
That's funny.
So, so indeed, you have to, in your research for these various awards, look at, well, Writer's Digest has a very prestigious self-published book award.
Mm-hmm.
That's, and so in that case, you're not going up against the books from Random House or Simon & Schuster or Chronicle Books or Reader's Digest or whatever, which you are in the Ben Franklin's or many of the other awards where you're going up against books coming from companies that do hundreds and thousands of books.
Yeah.
And the Writer's Digest self-published award is very prestigious and is designated strictly for self-published. So, again, you have to look at their criteria to see if you qualify in that particular award.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, and that's a good point. So really trying to always keep in mind, you know, if you are a self-publisher, that you really want to focus on awards where that's not going to be a huge liability for you, that your book is self-published.
Right. And it's all the more, at one point I know a discussion took place with the Ben Franklin Awards, which had started out really as books for the small and independent publishers, and
mm-hmm.
then they realized there was nothing in the rules to say that Random House couldn't submit a book.
Yeah.
And there were some people who said, well, you shouldn't allow them to, and ultimately it was felt that if your book could win against a nationally produced book from a large publishing company, that award was all the more valuable because you had just proved the argument that all of us who are involved in small and independent publishing try and convey to the world is that just that the books are just as good and in many cases much better having been independently produced
mm-hmm.
than if they had been done by a larger company.
Yeah. Big conglomerate.
Right. So
whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
Right. So there are many of these awards that reading the fine print is indeed important.
Yeah. And that's actually something, you know, talking about the time, that's a lot of what the time is going to take. I know when I was looking into awards, I didn't think about all I thought about was mostly the fact that they were independently published, and I think that in my case I actually worried about that kind of too much. And, you know, because the first book awards you submit, particularly if you're self-published and it's your book and you're kind of sensitive, and, you know, it's like you're putting your baby out there to be rejected and or criticized. And so I looked very closely at, you know, how many submissions do they get, how obscure of a category can I put my book into so that I have a better shot. And so I didn't enter as many awards as I could have and really probably should have, given how well the books ended up doing. I mean, I basically won every award that I submitted my book into. So so now it's like, you know, armed with this level of confidence, I feel better that, well, for one thing, I feel better about my books. It's like, yay, it's not just readers who like my books, but they've actually sort of now been independently vetted. And I think, you know, if there's any moral of that story is, you know, start small on book awards where you read the guidelines and you feel comfortable with it, and you don't, you know, it doesn't sound so scary and intimidating. Because, like, for example, I've never entered the Ben Franklin's because I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to win anything. But I think I may, you know, on future books, I may try that, because now I actually know people who've won and seen the books, and it's like, oh, I could do that.
Right. And again, you've got everything from those kind of things to, I'm just looking down my list of, you know, you've got Indie Excellence Awards or Indie Book Awards, which are aimed at that. You've got Jewish Book Council Awards, which are back to getting specific. You've got Mom's Choice Awards for kids' books and parenting books, you know, a lot in that kind of category. You've got Teen Development Awards and the Learning Awards, the Teacher's Choice Awards from Learning Magazine. So you get many different levels of being very general to being very specific. And so doing that research, I think, is ultimately worth it.
Yeah.
And then winning that award can be definitely worth it if you then use it in all the ways possible as part of your other promotion and marketing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're just about out of time. I know you said you're actually going to post some of this information on your website, right, in the future, and I'll provide the link. So since you did a lot of
right. Right. Now, and you know, and I must I'll put a precursor on the piece itself and say now that for most of these, all I did was find them and in most cases make sure that the site was still active, and I did not spend any more time quantifying or qualifying that these are great awards or that these are the best of the awards, and because I could have spent days.
Exactly. But it's a great, you know, it's still a great starting point. Yeah.
And it does definitely show that with just spending a little bit of time. And if you did have a genre to be able to put in book awards dogs or book awards or children's book awards or mystery book awards or science fiction or poetry or whatever your genre is, that would have narrowed it down even more. And one of the most interesting was actually there is a Wikipedia under list of literary awards, and it includes 51 categories from international and regional, from American literature to Hungarian literature to Venezuelan literature.
Wow.
And they list awards by genre, from children's and military to mystery, science, sports, etc. So that was a site that really just gave you links to 51 other sites to go to.
Yeah.
And some of those sites might have in turn sent you to other sites. So it could go on and on, but
yeah.
I hope that everybody, you've taken the time to do a wonderful book. You wouldn't have spent the time or money producing it if you didn't think it was wonderful, and hopefully the awards will, like you said, reconfirm that it was worth the time and money and effort, and that you've come up with a worthwhile product that has won an award.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a worthwhile endeavor, and even though it is going to take time and it is going to take money, it is, particularly if you're the author, I mean, speaking for myself, it's very validating, and also it does provide an amazing amount of PR opportunities if you really stop and think about all the different, I mean, you listed off a whole bunch of different ways you can really leverage that, some obvious and some really not so obvious, actually, but you can very subtly be working that I won an award idea into pretty much everything you do.
Right.
After
right.
you've got it, it's like, run with it.
Right.
And anyway, we are at the top of the hour here, and at this point we're out of time, and I'd like to thank Kate for taking time out of her schedule to be here. And for more information and advice about book awards, and actually publicity in general, you can find Kate online and learn about her services at www.ksbpromotions.com. And you can also see a list of some of the books that they're actually representing, including some of the ones that Kate talked about today, at www.ksblinks.com. So thank you all for being here, and thanks again, Kate.
Happy to share some information.